Behind the Secret Door tonight, and also your open line phone calls. So all of that is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing, George?
Yes, sir. Good.
Hey, about a month or so ago, you had a man on there telling a story about shooting a couple of Bigfoots and burying them up in Texas. I was wondering if you've had anything more about that.
No, never came back with any more information about that when he was on our program.
Oh, wow.
And why they shoot is beyond me, but who knows? You know, and you sometimes, you know, when they make the call and they don't come back with the information or the picture, then you begin to say, well, I don't know. Let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Hello, I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Hello.
My name's Marika. Is this the Bigfoot line? I'm just teasing, George.
Oh,
you
yes.
did it to that poor woman a week ago.
Everybody beat me up on that one. I get into this warped sense of humor every once
in a while. We all do. The reason I'm calling is, first of all, you don't need to buy from Mattel or a toy store a Ouija board. Anyone can make one out of a piece of paper with you, right? The alphabet.
Well, that's true. And it's Hasbro.
And you turn a shot glass over for a planchette. Anyways, I think you should definitely do the program, the Ouija board program.
Why?
Because it's all in how you set it up. The people that will be with you, you ask when you speak to it to use your collective energy to draw upon the entity or spirit guide that only has your best interest at heart, an old soul that's highly educated with worldly knowledge, and you ask that you block out any negative entity as will not be able to even gain entrance. And think of the mass listeners that will have you protected in a white light so that nothing negative can happen. It's all in how you set it up, and I think that's why they say people are not experienced. Well, because they don't meditate and don't know that you have to do that even when you meditate.
Well said. Well said.
Great.
I still don't know now what I'm going to do, but at least I have your vote.
Oh, do it. Better you than me, but I'll be having you all protected.
All right. Thanks. Let's go to Behind the Secret Door. Hello there.
Hello, George.
Oh, man, I will never figure out who this is.
George, this is your good friend, and I like you. Do you know what part of you I like the best?
Probably my neck. I don't know.
Your blood.
I have no idea who this is.
I can't wait to get you on my table and take out what's inside.
Wait a minute. Are you a surgeon or a doctor?
There, that's possible.
Man, this is good. Whoever you might be. So you're a doctor?
Yeah, what I do is take things out, George.
You sound like Oscar the Satanist, for crying out loud.
No. I'm not a Satanist. I am a looker and taker, and I study.
Man, do you know who this is, Steve? I have no idea. And I consider myself an expert on voices. You're good.
Oh, thank you, George.
No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Roger.
Yeah.
Roger Lear. Dr.
Yeah.
Roger Lear. That was very good. I didn't know you had a little thespian blood in you.
Why not? At this hour, you can have any kind of blood in you.
Well, that's true, too. Very, very good. You had me stumped.
Well.
I'm not sure I ever would have guessed who it was if you had kept up with that.
Really?
And our engineer doesn't know.
Oh, my gosh. You know? Well, I guess this will go down in radio history.
How have you been?
Pretty good.
Health as well?
Yeah, I'm getting along.
Good.
I'm busy doing stuff. We're getting ready to set up the 13th surgery.
My gosh. Which one did I attend with Tom?
I think that was...
11? Was that number 11?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we can... you're going to do this one in Los Angeles?
Yeah, we'll be doing it here.
Okay, so we can tape it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great.
We're getting some information back from the patient, and then we're going to get it set up. I've got a few conferences I'm going to be at, the Bay Area UFO conference, which...
I do believe I'll be there.
That's what I heard the rumor. August the 25th and 26th, a lot of good people. And really good topics to discuss. And then for those that like to travel, at the New Zealand International Future Perspectives Conference. And that's going to be September the 29th and 30th.
I have heard rumors that you have stumbled into someone who's got some incredible information about crop circles. Is that true?
Oh, do I? Yes, I get information from him all the time. And he's, I can say this, I can't divulge who it is, but he's one of the world's leading geneticists and mathematicians.
Is this somebody that Linda Moulton Howe would love to talk to?
I'm sure she would.
Okay.
Now, he has deciphered some of the crop circles in a mathematical way and made some predictions from these. It's quite a story. So,
is there a hopeful message or is there a dire prediction here?
Well, it's, you know, it's just like looking at implants. Are they good or are they bad? I mean, you can tell, it seems, from what he says, what some of these things mean, but we don't know whether it's good or bad.
Well, but there is a message there, though.
There is a definite message, and, you know, no one before has came up with anything that's plausible, you know, why the genuine crop configurations are there. Of course, we know that some are phony, but he's looked at the ones that have been, you know, categorized as something that's not from here. Some energy or force has made them.
All right, Raj, tell me what's up next for you beyond the conferences, the operation coming up. What are you seeing right now?
Well, I look over the, you know, the UFO situation, the abduction situation in general. I hear tales that, we're no longer in UFO flaps and abduction scenario is slowed down, but this is absolutely not true. There are continuous, you know, sightings all over the world. I mean, all you got to do is read Filer's files and look at Peter's stuff from Washington. And, oh, my gosh, you know, there's stuff going on all over the world continuously. Sightings over uranium mines. I was in Brazil not too long ago, and we had a lecture from a Chilean Air Force colonel that said the UFO situation is so bad in Brazil that they've actually become a danger to air traffic. And this is both commercial and military traffic. There's been some near collisions and landings, in Chile. And they've been seen, and he's got footage. You know, he showed footage and stills of these things. Three discs were out in front of three helicopters about a mile away, saw the film. And they just came, you know, like a bat right in front of the three helicopters who went into a hover mode and then radioed ground as to, you know, what they were seeing. And they were appearing on radar, and they told them to do a 180 and get out of there. Well, they did the 180, and the minute they did the 180, these three discs were right in front of them again.
There's no question, Roger. I think the flap is very big this year.
Oh, it's huge, and it's just all over the world. I mean, you know, we've had our stuff here, too, with the Chicago O'Hare sighting, and there's a lot of activity that's going on. Certainly no lack of it, as someone would like you to believe. There's been more reporting on it. There's been more television programs. I spent 2 days paid for by the Discovery Channel at the University of Toronto looking at some of the implants with the chair of the Material Science Department. And there's a program that's going to air pretty soon. I don't have an air date.
All right, will you let us know when it is?
Yes, I sure will.
All right, my friend. You take care.
Okay, you too, George.
Dr. Roger Lear, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good, thanks.
This is Amy. I was just curious if you've ever heard any possible conspiracy theories tying J. Edgar Hoover with the assassination of Robert Kennedy.
I've heard Hoover's name was bantered about. You know, he hated the Kennedys.
Oh, yes.
And apparently had a lot of information on them. Of course, the evidence never came out. But I heard he was tossed in a few of the conspiracy theories.
And there were some provoking theories about certain illicit drugs, experimental mind control, that Sirhan Sirhan might have been involved with some of these projects.
Yeah, they said he was almost like the Manchurian candidate, brainwashed. Yeah. That was also another theory I had heard. To this day, he still really doesn't remember that time.
Yeah.
But he was there, and they did grab a gun from him.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows how many other people were there?
Who knows?
Okay, thanks, Amy.
All right, thank you.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hello, George. My name is Tim. How are you, sir?
Good, Tim. Thank you.
Good. I must admit that listening to your show for the last couple of hours, I've had a personal epiphany. I was intending to call you about one topic, but first I'd rather address a topic that's important to you, and that's the Ouija board.
Okay.
Now, my wife and I have been married 30-something years, but around 30 years ago, after we'd been married just a few years, my sister and her husband hosted us coming over, and they did, as one of your previous callers suggested, using a piece of paper to tear up the letters and distribute them like a Ouija board, an improvised board.
Uh-huh.
Now, it was only in the last hour or two, as I thought about this, that I put two and two together, which I'd never, ever done before. Within weeks after my sister hosted this event where we played with a Ouija board, my sister discovered that her husband had been unfaithful, and she wound up having a bitter divorce with him.
Ugh.
Now, contemporaneous with that, the quality of my marriage took a nosedive.
Almost right after that?
Yes, sir. Very, very closely, and it's been down there ever since. It's only because of my religious upbringing that my wife and I, neither one of us, believes in divorce. Otherwise, that would have been the logical solution to this predicament that we find ourselves in.
And do you think the Ouija board experience? Well, first of all, did anything happen that night when you were playing with this makeshift Ouija board?
Yes, sir. And it's no coincidence that you ask. We were starting to feel uncomfortable with the questions we were allowing ourselves to ask, mm-hmm. and some of the answers. And just as we decided, look, this is getting a little freaky, and for some reason, we were just about to quit, and I think only three of us were doing it instead of all four. And they said, do you have any questions for us? We asked it, do you have a question for us? And it said yes. And it made just a very indecent, vulgar proposal. And we thought, this is very unhealthy. So we've never touched it since.
What did you use for the planchette? What did you make?
For the what, sir?
That planchette, the mechanism to pick out the numbers and the letters.
A glass, an inverted glass.
Huh, and that thing moved around?
We each had to have our finger on it, one finger on it.
Okay.
I believe that's the way it works.
All right.
Okay? But the bottom line is this. As far as your particular interest goes on the Ouija board, I highly discourage it. Now, from my religious training as a youngster, I was always taught that if the devil wanted to get his hooks into somebody, he'd go after really good, decent people because that would be more of a victory for him. Now, as I've only been able to listen to your show for like the last 3 or 4 months, during which time I have developed such an admiration and respect for you, because I've noticed that you treat every caller, no matter how unusual, with such dignity. It's such an admirable thing, whereas the person on the street might have some unkind statements to make to them before hanging up on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have never done that. You just seem to be a very respectful, wholesome, dignified gentleman. And if ever a devil could pick a good target, it would be you. So please, I discourage you from doing that. Incidentally, as we spoke, I used to think I was the only person in the world that had this trouble with streetlights going out.
you and Billy Gibbons and thousands of others have it.
Well, one just went out as we spoke. Okay, but if I may, I'd like to get to the original reason I intended to call.
Sure.
Okay. Now, I'm really nobody in particular. I don't have any special training. I just like to learn a little bit about a lot of stuff, okay? Now, I'm sure at one point you've heard that the Ark of the Covenant, because of its design, was capable of generating some sort of electrical power.
Yes, and matter of fact, some who touched it then died. They say.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Now, ever since we started getting into the Egyptian tombs and everything, we've found all manner of things made of gold, okay? And none of them have been dangerous or generated any sort of electrical charge. So it appears that the uniqueness of the Ark of the Covenant, that the unique design of it makes that the only item made of gold that we know of that will generate this power, okay?
All right.
Now, if we can put that thought aside for just a moment and seemingly change topics, crop circles. I have been wondering if the crop circles, now I realize that there could be, what, let's say 2,000 of them recorded, okay?
And all you need is one to be authentic.
Well, my thought was this. Out of those 2,000 or so, a lot of them can be written off to hoax.
True.
Now, the ones that are truly suspected to be the most legitimate crop circles of undetermined origin, most likely extraterrestrial, if those images or patterns were turned over to, say, a metallurgist or somebody who works with circuit boards or computer chips and were to replicate those patterns in metal, some type of metal, not necessarily gold, maybe aluminum, silver, titanium, heaven knows, they'll just have to keep experimenting.
Hold on, too. I want you to finish up when we come right back, so don't hang up. Our friend Mike the Skeptic out of South Carolina says, George, hey, I double dare you to explain to your listeners that mercury vapor streetlights have heat sensors in them that turn them off and on periodically to prevent premature failure. It has nothing to do with the paranormal. But what if the lights weren't on yet? Why would they go on when someone just walks by? And then they go off right away when they leave. Fast night. Fast night indeed. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Nicole from Nebraska.
Hello, Nicole.
Hello, and I was just calling about the topic about the Ouija board. I think that everybody should respect your decision. I have dealt with a Ouija board once before. I've never done it again. I had a bad experience, and I was in sixth grade, and a girlfriend of ours wanted to throw a party for us getting out of elementary and going into junior high.
And that was a neat time for you, I bet.
Yes, it was. And she was a very Christian girl, and there was probably about 30 or 40 of us, and we were having a party out in the garage, and they told us, oh, come in. So we went inside, and they brought out the Ouija board, and we were messing around with it. There was like three or four of us. And we all thought that we were moving it, you know, accusing each other of moving it. And they're like, no, no, no. And the garage door was closed. And all of a sudden, I was like, you guys stop. You're, you know, you guys are doing this. And then it started spelling out this name, a boy's name, John, that was 8 years old. And I was like, you know, you guys quit. Stop doing it. So the next thing you know, you know, I said, oh, I don't believe in this. And next thing you know, the garage door flew open and just a big gust of wind came in and blew out all the candles. And, you know, it was such a strong wind that we all had to take cover because it was just blowing everything around. And the Ouija board flew over to the fireplace.
No.
So ever since then, I would never touch it, but I respect your decision.
Thanks a lot. You're setting me on this one.
And I've had a lot of experiences with good and evil things, so.
See, I'm also concerned, though, about the use of the airwaves to get this message across that I'm trying to seek. I wonder if that would affect people.
I probably wouldn't listen, and I've been listening to you since I was 17, and I'm 34 now.
So you'd come back the next night, though, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I think you're a wonderful person, and you have wonderful topics, but I will respect whatever decision you make.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well, next up, let's go behind the door. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning. My home is in another land across the Great Divide. Can you guess who I am?
Well, I'm going to say, are you David Darling, the astrophysicist?
No, I'm not David Darling, the astrophysicist. I will give you another clue.
All right.
For the past 5 years, I have been living in the past.
Okay, I know your accent, but I got to figure out who you might be. No, you're not him.
My third clue.
All right. Michael Cesarian?
No, not Michael Cesarian. The third clue, the past I refer to is 1888.
1880. Is this David Icke?
No, it's not David Icke, the Green Man.
I'm getting warm, though.
The past and the area that I refer to is an area of London known as Whitechapel.
Trevor Marriott.
Oh, you have guessed correctly.
Long time. How are you?
I am fine, George. It's nice to talk to you again.
Absolutely. I have been wanting to talk to you, believe it or not, for some time, because more theories abound about Jack the Ripper, Trevor. Have you been following these things lately?
Well, I have, yes, and you're probably aware that I did your show, or I did Ian's show at the weekend.
Yeah, just recently.
In great detail, certainly some of my new research and findings.
Well, let me tell you something. Your research and your findings about that. I was reading the scripted portion of the show after you were on with him, and what we had talked about some time ago. I mean, it's just an incredible mystery.
It is. It is endearing, certainly, and it is a mystery that has a wide following worldwide for some reason. I mean, people ask me this question: why is Jack the Ripper such an ongoing mystery, and why is it still popular? I mean, I think the reason that it's still popular is the fact that every so often there are new issues which come to light in the press and the media. Hollywood will produce a new film, and it then introduces younger people to the mystery. For example, when Johnny Depp starred in that film From Hell several years ago, that in fact did introduce a lot of young people to the mystery, because obviously a lot of young people follow Johnny Depp and his films.
Well, you know what, too, when you look at, and though Jack the Ripper was a, you know, was a serial killer, it was a horrible situation during that era, now when you have these sickos, Trevor, killing 20, 30, 40 people, I mean, they make Jack the Ripper look like he was, you know,
pussycat.
A pussycat, yeah. They really do.
That's correct. I mean, I think obviously, though, having said that, nowadays with our modern technology, that a lot of the time serial killers are caught much quicker than perhaps they would have been years ago, before the sort of modern technology assisted law enforcement agencies worldwide.
Well, I did not hear your closing remarks with Ian. And did he ask you what you're doing in the next few months ahead? Do you travel much?
Well, I travel as and when. I mean, I do a lot of lecturing on the Jack the Ripper topic, but obviously I also do a lot of lecturing on serial killers and killings in general. And obviously I sort of go wherever anybody requires me to give a talk or a lecture.
Okay, well, you keep in touch with us, Trevor. You're a great guest here for us.
Thank you very much, George. It's nice to talk to you again. Thank you.
That's Trevor Marriott, expert in Jack the Ripper. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
George, this is Denise. My mother called you about a year or so ago and was inquiring if you had ever heard of someone being born with a veil over their face.
I remember that.
Yes. Well, that's me. And I have been working with Mrs. Evelyn.
Evelyn Paglini. Okay. Evelyn Paglini?
Yes, I've been working with her, and I've been working with another lady from Seattle trying to fine-tune this.
God, your phone's going on me again. Man, we have the worst luck tonight with phones.
Yeah, the phones are kind of staticky. I'm in between two mountain ranges.
Ah.
I'm down here in the desert.
Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a cordless.
Right now, wherever you are, don't move, because it sounds perfect.
Okay, I won't move. I'm down here between two mountain ranges, between the Huachucas and the Mule Mountains on the Arizona-Mexican border, where we have many visitors that come down here to the skies. I'm beginning to wonder if we're not part of a zone, so to speak. Just to let you know, we have bought a night camera with a telescopic lens.
Uh-huh.
And we're hoping that we can put it to good use.
Well, you know, I want to talk with you a little bit about this veil you were born with, because a lot of people believe that that's a sign of incredible luck. Doctors think that it's a personal insult, believe it or not. You know, they say it really means that the amniotic sac didn't break during labor. I don't think that's the case. Do you?
Well, no. My grandmother said that I was gifted, that I would be able, she informed my mother when my mother handed me to her, she said, the child is gifted. She will be able to foresee things.
Can you?
Well, let me tell you that Virginia Tech, I didn't have it pinpointed, but I knew something catastrophic was going to happen in the state of Virginia.
That's funny you say that, because a lot of us had a feeling there was some kind of major event occurring. I didn't know where, but I've been on the air before saying, look, I feel something. Something's happening. And,
exactly.
You know, you get 30 people killed. That's
exactly.
A big event, I think.
Exactly. Like I say, I'm fine-tuning this, and people don't come into their, you know, true stride in this until they reach their mid-40s, early 50s.
Well, and you have to keep fine-tuning yourself up. You really do. Let's take some more calls. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Oh, my goodness. It's such an honor to talk to you.
You made it in.
I'm one of the people, like the lady two or three callers ago, who I'm 30. I've been listening to Coast and Coast for 15 years, so half my life has been spent.
Isn't that something?
I knew that once you started talking about Ouija boards tonight, it's one of those nights that I'm not going to sleep. So I just gave up, turned on the lights, and I went into a closet. And I remember my grandmommy passed away, and she gave me this little box full of stuff. And one of the things that I found was an old Ouija board.
Uh-oh.
It's actually like a placemat. It's called a Magic Marvel, it says.
Okay.
And it says on the back, copyright 1946. And on the back, it also lets you play chess and checkers and, I guess, rummy. I don't know how to play that.
It kind of like, it folds, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm terrified of the thing.
What do you, and you still have it. Why didn't you get rid of it?
I've tried to get rid of it. I've tried to throw it away, and, I take it outside. Well, let me explain what happened after the last time I used it. My then-wife and I used it. And
my then wife. I noticed how you said that. My then wife.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, she's all right. Thank God. But a week after we used it, she doesn't believe in that kind of stuff, and I do. And she thought I was moving it, the planchette, I guess you call it,
yeah,
with my hand. And you wrote a great book, by the way. I just finished it tonight.
Thanks.
But she thought I'm moving it, we're getting answers and everything. So I don't know what happened. Literally within a week, she files for the divorce from me.
Out of the blue?
Out of the blue, just nowhere. Like our
you
relationship.
You did not see that coming at all, did you?
Not at all. Like, normally I'm pretty perceptive with relationships, and this just came out of the blue. Her, it's like something entered her, like a spirit or something like that, and she totally changed.
Jeez.
And then the next week, next Friday, I got a pink slip at my job. And so I've tried to throw this thing away, and I haven't been able to. Like, I'll throw it in the dumpster outside, and, trash doesn't come at night, and I'm a night person. So then I'll start thinking, I better get it out of there. And I kind of rescue it, and I feel better until I look at it. And now the other odd thing is that I've got a old copy of the Parker Brothers Monopoly, and it, too, has these weird powers to it.
But it's got to be okay. I don't think Monopoly would be evil, do you?
Well, I mean, I guess some anti-capitalists might disagree. as soon as last time we played that, I played that just a couple weeks ago.
Sounds like you're recommending I don't do the Ouija board show.
Yes, because within a week, after playing the Monopoly game, I did win second prize in a beauty contest and won $15.
$15? How about that? But do not pass go without collecting your money. That's funny. But the Ouija board, and for some reason, couples that play the Ouija boards together end up getting, let's see, the national average for divorce, about 50%, a little higher now. And I wonder what the national average is for divorce with couples who have played on the Ouija board. It could be 85%. And if that's the case, then you have to say by probability that there's something going on here, I would think. Wouldn't you? Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Bee from Southeast Alabama.
Hi, Bee.
I've been a practicing Wiccan for 40 years. I use the Ouija board as a tool, and that is all it is. It can pick up vibrations. It can pick up the voices of your spirits that have gone before. And it can also be played with by spirits, which most of which are not necessarily evil.
But is it the Ouija board or the person?
It's the person. It is how you approach the Ouija board. It's a toy.
So if I approach the Ouija board this night and I've got people around me with light and energy and we do this experiment and we do this program, but I don't think it's going to, be a portal to evil, will evil come through?
Not necessarily. Now, I have had some interesting experiences.
Oh, great. Thanks.
All it takes is
not
one necessarily. Skip in the bunch.
So you can't guarantee it.
No, I cannot guarantee it. I cannot guarantee that you won't have a very interesting experience. Yeah. However,
what about an interesting life?
The odds are against it unless you have someone with that propensity in your immediate area.
So if there's somebody...
As far as going out on the airwaves, I wouldn't even worry about it. People are going to scare themselves silly.
So you think if there's somebody... Well, I don't want to do a War of the Worlds show, and have people jumping off bridges and things like that for crying
out
loud.
No. It is all in the mindset of the observer.
Maybe we can summon up Orson Welles on the Ouija board then.
Oh, that would be a neat one.
That would
be a neat one.
Maybe that's who
I've never tried that one.
So,
but, as a practicing Wiccan, I've used it as a tool for 40 years. And I've had some interesting experiences, but I've never had a problem with evil.
Well, and you know, by the way, listening to this program, how much I have defended those who practice Wicca.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, people think Wiccans are real evil witches. They don't know that you...
You cannot be a witch and be evil.
You
and it harm none do what thy will.
You believe in God.
Yes.
You believe in a male,
Creator,
female.
And the Earth Mother are very real to me. I have spoken to both.
Now,
they don't necessarily answer, but I have spoken to them.
How did you become a Wiccan?
40 years ago, I decided that Christianity was not the message that I wanted.
So you needed something else.
I needed something else.
And how did you stumble into this?
And I studied and studied and studied. I did comparative religion. I briefly became a Buddhist. And I finally decided to go back to my Native American roots. And in my studies on the Earth Mother and the Creator, I found Wicca. And it was what I had already believed in for many years before that. And I'm in my 50s now. So I've been a Wiccan most of my life.
All right. Well, good for you. And thanks to all of you who have participated in the program. And though we haven't started to solicit fast blasts yet about the Ouija board show, I sure got a whole bunch of them. Maybe we'll have Tommy stay overnight and just start recording people. It's pretty balanced now, by the way. I will tell you that. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.
Do the Ouija board show.